supernatural here. Steve's musky thunder, Madlock's here. Steve's musky thunder, Headlock's here. Mama, this surely is a dream. Welcome to the Musky 360 podcast of Jay Bird!
Steven!
Back to the Musky 360 studios here in the Bait Cave. After a month,
it feels like home.
Feels like home. It sounds like magic. The number one musky fishing podcast. All the haters can line up and get a mouth full. So, anyway. Big news, Steve's Musky Thunder, Matlocks, and Headlocks are at the Musky Shop. Big girls are going to get a mouthful. What do you think, Jay? Scale 1 to 10.
Absolutely. Scale 1 to 10, how beautiful or handsome they are.
They're a very handsome bait.
Well, extremely handsome.
What a handsome bait. Get a mouthful. Line up.
You know what they say about a basic black dress?
Yeah.
You can't beat it.
Big black crankbaits, baby.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, yeah, they're wonderful. Yeah, we got them. We don't have many, Steve.
Not too many.
But they're on the website right now, so check them out.
Check them out. Give a big girl a mouthful on me. So anyway, Other than that, Jay, just got back from Canada. After all the freaking stuff we don't talk about in the podcast because we're at downers, went up there with my good friend Steve Herbeck. We had a blast. I love Herbie. What an amazing angler. Hang out with my friend Team from the Netherlands. It was amazing.
Yep.
Went up there.
Yep.
Hung out at Andy Myers. Man, what an awesome lodge. Like top notch, the best place I've ever been. I've been to every musky place you can think of. Andy Myers Lodge is the nicest place I've ever been with the best guides. It was stupid. Stupid. I'm sitting here going, oh, here's Steve Herbeck. Here's Mike. Here's all these guys. Here's Andy. Here's freaking. It was ridiculous. We had a hoot, man.
Yeah.
Julian that runs that place, that is magnifique. Top notch.
Yeah.
If they gave out Michelin stars for musky lodges, 4 Michelin stars. Not Michelin tires, Michelin like fine dining.
Exactly. I follow you on that one. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway. You gave me some details on your trip, but to be honest with you, I haven't heard a lot of them. Haven't heard the full story. We've been running around 100 miles an hour and you just got back home.
Guys, I missed last week. If you can imagine, it was storming as crazy. So anyway,
yeah.
Long story short, get up to Eagle Lake with Team.
Mm-hmm.
We get up there. We're doing our thing. We caught some really nice fish. We caught fish on freaking flipper on Titan. It happened to be a dive and rise bite, which was perfect for me because I'm lazy. And freaking, it was amazing. It was just like as perfect of a trip you'd ever want. We had some fish on blades, all that other stuff. went out with Herbeck. Herbeck, he, out of his own mouth, he goes, you know, I'm not the biggest Titan guy because he is the driving force behind Flipper, right?
Yeah, right.
Frickin', we had 10 up, including a upper 50s on Titan. And he is a Titan convert, buddy. It's ridiculous. So, again, line up. Get you a mouthful. If you don't like me, I got Titans for days. Open your jaws. I'll feed it to you. Anyway, so that's been that. You know, it's been exciting. Bunch of people ask, and I'll just say it again on the podcast. Do you own Muskie Hunter? Yes, I do. Hundreds of emails. I do. Deal with it. Get your mouthful. Eat it. Just like a muskie. Other than that, that's been it. What do you think, Jay?
What do I think about?
Anything.
Well, it was good to see you the other day because you were gone. For those that don't know, Steve was up. What were you, about 3 weeks in Wisconsin?
Oh,
and we filmed darn
gone.
Near every day. And then you went to Canada.
I was gone from home for over a month. It was quite
simple. Over a month. Yeah.
Quite a long time on the rickety road, if you will.
So, yeah, I think we touched on that last week and maybe, just last week. I think we only did one podcast and then we had the bash in between there, the Muskie Shop bash.
Man, I'll tell you what, it was so cool. I got home, I cleaned the car out, and here in the Bay Cave where I record the podcast, here is this freaking laser cut, metal cut sign that says all their Fisher Bait. Dude, the guy that made this metal sign, thank you so much. I've shown it to a bunch of people. It means the world to me. I've got it in my hand right now. It's hanging in the Bait Cave. What a beautiful freaking gesture. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And from the bottom of my heart. What are you doing, Jay? You freaking knocking the pipes?
Come on now. That's mine. I got one too. You hear that resonance on that thing? It's unbelievable.
Look at that. For whom the musky bell tolls.
Look at that, he says.
It's amazing.
Yeah, super cool. That guy was awesome. He's just like, he came up to me and he's just like, hey, I just wanted to thank you for doing the podcast. I made this for you and one for Steve too.
Floored.
And I'm like, thanks, man.
Thank you very much. And me and Jay, like, we don't give two shits about ourselves. I'm nobody, and who cares? And Jay's, if I'm nobody, Jay's less than nobody.
Yeah, that's true.
Let the meanness flow. But anyway, like, we don't get too
big. I walked into work yesterday, and a couple of the kids, you know, that started working, I said, who's that guy?
They call you Pop-Pop.
Anyway. One guy does.
Pop-Pop. Anyway.
He's not working there anymore. Anyway.
He's gone? Oh, Lord. Anyway.
No, he's not. I'm just kidding.
Long story short, that was amazing. And then the young lady that brought me the Titan stand at the Living School.
Yes. Yes.
I brought that home. I showed the wife. It is setting. I can see it every time. So, you know, when I do the podcast, I have a studio set up here, and I've got two what they call near field monitors, which are studio speakers. And on top of them is the first Titan ever built, and is in that stand, a can of Muskie Thunder. And guess what else is up there, Jay?
Well, it sounds like everything dear to your heart. No, I can only imagine.
Here's the first Titan ever made, and is in that stand he made for me. It literally, like, that meant the world to me. Thank you so much. I try my best. Some people think I'm an asshole. Some people think I'm a piece of shit. I'm just trying to do a podcast and try to help people catch fish. You know, whatever. We do our best. And that was like the most heartfelt gesture between the sign and the Titan stand that meant the world to me. And you will never know how much appreciative I am of that. So on my speaker here to the left-hand side, I always sit to the left. There's a can of Muskie Thunder. The very first Titan is on that Titan stand that you made for me. And thank you so much. But sitting below it, Jay, in consequence,
here we go.
Here's Steve Paul fashion. There is a 6-inch Titan. I got it. I got it today, boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is bad as boom.
So you got a chance to throw it, right?
And I ain't telling, baby. It's bad, dude. It's bad. Eric at Livingston Lures, he was like, dude, I asked you guys, I sent a thing on the podcast, said bigger, smaller, what do you want? All right.
Yeah, right, smaller. Right. I remember.
We made a smaller one. It's scaled down. It's a, it, to a T, you go, if the it, they just shrunk it down the computer because of computer math.
Yeah, yeah.
It's silly cool. I was having a blast with it. I was not, okay, I'm going to tell, I was not supposed to throw it because it's 3D printed, right? Like, don't throw it. I was launching that thing. I was like, just reeling it, winging it out there. So it casts like a bullet. It's cool. I'll keep you guys in loop, the 6-inch Titan.
No, it's still running a soft tail too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We're trying
and
to make
it, and it backs up beautiful, and it's yeah, got a nice snap like, to it and everything.
I just pulled it down here in my hand. So here's the deal. The 6-inch Titan, if any of you guys want to chime in and shoot us an email, I'd appreciate it. Here it is. That's the first time you ever heard a 6-inch Titan. It's tiny. I'm trying to make up my mind. So here's my thought, right? Me and Eric talked about this a link today. Do we do an insert weight on it, or we do it just like money? Like, you don't have to change the weighting on it, and it's just like out of the box. It's sort of like a slow, not slow rise, but a moderate rise or a fast rise. If you guys want fast rise or moderate rise, let me know, because I'm legitimately trying to make up my mind, because with a small body, you go, do we want to do insert weights? I don't know. We're trying our best here because insert weights are a cluster. But anyway, so, you know, 6-inch Titan ripping. The thing I'll say is this. Freaking Titan. Holy crap, Steve Herbeck. We had the biggest muskie I've seen in about half a decade up on Titan. It was cool. Herbeck was there. We got a video coming out this week. Me and Steve Herbeck nail a donkey on Eagle Lake on a Titan. So that's cool. The other thing is this. If you didn't catch it from the intro, Jay, guess what finally showed up?
Two hit songs?
Steve's Musky Thunder. Yee yee! Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Custom Steve headlocks. What are you going to do, baby?
They're bad in the bone.
They are bad. So here's the thing. You go, it's the difference between, for me, like Aladdin Sane and the Gibson Lightning Strap. So if you understand the Bowie reference or the 70s Gibson guitar strap reference, that's what's going on with that thing. I love it. I think it's stupendous. The next thing is this. Housekeeping here, Canada. You're going to see the videos. Me and Tim and Herbeck and everybody tore them up. We went to Wabagoon, which was weird. Never been to Wabagoon in a lot of years. And we went to the Goon, and that was a lot of fun.
Trolling Wabagoon. Yeah, I remember the song. Wabagoon.
Anyway, Musky Thunder, gone. You can get a can at the shop. There's a couple left. Gone. Gone.
Sad.
Done. Everybody that chugged them, Steve Herbeck. Okay, here's the thing, dudes.
Tell the story.
Legitimately. Text him. Shoot him a message. Steve Herbeck drank like 7 cans and had a religious experience in bed. He said he was like in an acid flashback. He drank so many of them. It was ridiculous. He didn't know they were energy drinks, which makes it even funnier.
So, yes, it does.
You know, here's Herbie.
Steve.
Of anybody that shouldn't be drinking them, and Steve Herbeck drank as many as humanly possible. And we are comparing the effects of peyote to Musky Thunder. So he had a good time.
I'm to blame for that, Steve, you know, because I was talking with him before the power panel started and all that. And I said, Steve, have you tried the Musky? Have you experienced the thunder? And he's like, Jay, what are you talking about?
Taste the thunder.
So I grabbed him one. He looked at it and he goes, he just started laughing.
He was like a maniacal little freaking demon. What was amazing. So we did the Musky shop, or excuse me, the Livingston school the next morning, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I show up. I'd been drinking the night before a couple Pepsis, right? Might have been sweaty and gross. Pete shows up. He's prim and proper. I pull in the lot. We started at what, 10 or 9? What was it?
Yeah, I think it was 10.
I pulled it at 9:59. Right, whipping in Jim Stewart's car. He let me borrow the party wagon. I rip in there. I'm just falling apart, right? I'm going, hold it together. You just have to do a Musky school. You do this every day. You can do it, right? You can do this, Steve. Right. Just hold it together.
That was a little voice in your head?
That was the voice in my head. Like,
okay, gotcha.
Chug
gotcha.
A water. You can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Maine is bright and chipper. I go, I'm going to be late. Steve Herbeck pulls in 15 minutes later sweating. So I thought I was in bad shape. Herbeck was in worse. So,
yep.
That's was funny. Cool.
Man. I didn't find out about that till well after. That's what, a day.
I'm sitting there next to Herb, and he's on my right hand side, and that guy's sweating like he was running a marathon. It's like 65 degrees, and he's just dripping on the stage. It was amazing. So I'll say this. That was so cool. Like, the guys that came out to Livingston School, you know what it was, which was not like a push on Livingston or anything. It was like, let's sit down. We literally sat on the stage. We didn't sit in chairs. We sat on the edge of the stage and answered direct questions and talked to everybody. It was cool. The other thing I'd say to this is the dude that won the grand prize at the bash. I've thought about that the entire time.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't remember your name. I've been driving for 2.5 days and now I'm doing a podcast.
Yep. I know him too.
We've
been in the boat with him. That thing. That dude was. Tell the story of what he did? Did I tell that last week? I can't remember.
That was the classiest thing I've ever seen.
So ever.
Dude comes out. We did a grand package where you won like what, 4 rods, 2 nets. Like it was like a $7,000-$8,000 package. The guy that wins the raffle stands up and says, I'll never be able to fish all this. Are there any kids that need gear? And gave that gear away. I literally, get a lump in my throat. That was the coolest thing I've seen ever. Because most people be laughing all the way to the bank with all that stuff. That dude, you are a freaking bona fide badass in my book. Thank you. Bless you and your wife. You are cool. If you ever need anything, give me a holler. I've thought about that since that day. Multiple people have brought it to me. Can you believe that guy? And I was like, dude, that was badass. And it really is what I'm all about. You guys listen to the podcast now. I'm all about who gives a shit. You know, being a professional muskie angler and a $1.99 will get you a cup of coffee. Who gives a shit? But that was the coolest thing I've seen in a long time. I've thought about that the entire time. If we talked about it after the bash, good. If we didn't, we're talking about it again. That was awesome, dude.
100% agree with you.
Like, Jim at Muskie Shops brought it up to me. He's like, can you believe that guy? I said, no, that was the coolest thing I've seen in a long time.
Yep. So
that was cool. Great time in Canada. So here's what I'll go ahead and say. If you guys want to come up to Canada next year, we need to talk. Right? Your buddy Steve, I'm going to be up there. There's the distinct possibility of the Andy Myers will probably be doing an instructional thing up there. It'll be cool, man. So if you're thinking Canada for 2023, let's get after it. Let's get on it. Right. It's going to happen. So if that's on your brain, you're thinking Canada, it's going to be awesome. So let's shoot some emails, whatever. Right now, the other thing I say is this is like, I'm God, thank you. I'm booked, but winter, if you guys are thinking about going in the winter, let's talk. Jay, other than that, man, freaking some cool baits have shown up in between. Like we said, the Steve Muskie Thunder headlocks, matlocks, which is just freaking awesome. You can't go wrong there. What more do you want, right?
Yep.
The other thing I say is this, is freaking there's a couple flippers left. And the other thing I'm stoked about, because I played with one in the shop, was the Adams Custom Lures Little Rogue Kills.
Oh, you saw them. Yeah.
They're cool.
That's a new crankbait. Yep.
Little
Roadkills and Minnow. The Minnow.
Minnow.
But yeah, more of a twitch bait.
The thing I'm like absolutely over the moon. If you've not watched the video for my trolling video, right?
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to bring up.
So
amazing.
Here's the thing. I tried my best. I don't care if you like it, you love it, you lump it, whatever. I'm trying my best to convey information. We did a longer video, right? And me and Jay talked about, we're probably going to do like some long videos over the winter or whatever, like some serious stuff. But I did a trolling video sort of cover everything, and we featured the Blade, the planer board. Holy crap, dude. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Tell, they're sick of hearing it from me. Tell them what happened.
The response on it. The pre-sales on it are off the charts. The guy will never be able to make enough.
If you want
this month anyway, you know what I mean? Like this month's supply is being made
now.
He is, Josh that makes them. He was absolutely floored when we told him how many we needed.
Yeah,
and let's just say we didn't order enough.
No,
I think he's working on making 100 pairs or something like that. So anyway, we hope to get maybe half of them soon here within the next 1 to 2 weeks.
If you've not seen seen the video, I take a 12-inch headlock.
Yes.
Tell him, Jay. Tell him.
12-inch headlock, and you know, Steve and I talked about it. We're out in the wind, and it's just like, okay, we're out in a basin. It's just like, let's get in-depth on some of this trolling stuff. So Steve hooks up the blade, and I'm maneuvering the camera around there to see how simple you clip, you twist. It's ready to go. He puts it in the water, and I think we're going about 3.5, and he's pulling a 12-inch headlock, which, for those of you who don't know, that's a big bait. Got torque. It's got a big old, you know, it's a deep-diving crankbait. And the whole basis of this demo was just like, let's keep kicking the speed up and up and up. And then we got up to low sixes anyway. I think 6.2, 6.3. Okay.
Kick it up.
And that thing still. And what was cool with the blade running, the planer board's doing its job. It's working. It's tracking that bait outward. Controllably outward,
yeah.
And you could still see the bait wandering.
Yeah.
Occasionally, you could look at the board and go, "This thing is pulling it effectively at that speed, which is ridiculous."
Which
I don't think another planer board will not work. It will not function at that speed with that much resistance.
Impossible.
Yeah, and plus you can see how the bait's working.
Absolutely.
If you had a weed on that, if you had a small weed on that, you'd be able to know. You could tell that when the thing's kicking and how it's behaving. Remarkable. You look at this thing, the blade, and you go, that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
It's
math.
It is.
Math,
it's math.
Don't lie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, Jay, we are so behind on Q&A, so here she... All right, Perry, I'm new to musky fishing and I'm absolutely hooked. I've tried to build out a well-rounded tackle box and to do so without breaking the bank. Through Musky 360, I've been learning what types of baits to assemble, from topwater to plastics, glide baits, bucktails. What I'm struggling with is color selection. What are some go-to patterns to start a collection? Browsing the Musky Shop website is almost overwhelming with a deep selection of colors and patterns. Where do I start? A few all black, a few all white, sucker perch, mainly in the Hayward area. Maybe someday I can visit Jay and Elmer in the store. I've learned so much from the podcast and YouTube channel. I can't thank you guys enough. Okay, flat out, black, white. If you're struggling with color, go black and white. Jay, what are some other
absolutely homework? Dark and light. And if he's going over to Hayward or fishing in an aqua area, a walleye or a perch pattern.
Right.
And that kind of rests somewhere in between.
There you go. Don't overthink it. You know, you don't have to spend $1 billion on 8 million bucktails or crankbaits or this stuff. Black. And it's like, if you look at Steve's Musky Thunder or the custom car I have with Slammer Baits, black. It's going to work. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the chips are down, go back in black. Don't think about it.
One of the oldest traditions in musky fishing, really,
is black. So check that out. Go very basic. Don't try to overthink it until you find something that works. Brian, hey guys, first of all, I appreciate what you guys do and enjoy the hell out of your show. I've been musky fishing about 6 or 7 years, but don't have a ton of time on the water. I usually get out on a few weekend trips and one big trip to Lake of the Woods each year, but that's the time I can manage. I still feel like a novice in many ways, but I'm actively trying to learn new techniques and expand my skills. With my limited time to get after these fish, I have a hard time figuring out the best way to spend my time on these trips, trying to learn new techniques or using the ones that I am decent at. Any advice to split up my time? So Brian's asking about time management on the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'd say, Brian. So we have bucktails, crankbaits, topwater, rubber. What else, Jay? Diving rice.
Yeah.
Is there any other bait classes? Glide baits. So what I would do, Brian, is spend time when you can checking your retrieves at the local pond. We've talked about this before, but like Go to the local pond, even if there's no muskies, and work on your glide baits, work on your rubber, work on your dive and rise, and feel competent with that. As far as like what you know now versus what you need to be doing, you need feedback to show you what you're doing right. Okay? So learn the mechanics here and there, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, right? Say you pass a pond on the way to work, leave 20 minutes early and spend 20 minutes there. Right? Muskie or no muskie, go, I'm going to learn how to work, you know, glide baits. I'm going to learn how to work dive and rise. Spend that time when you have it to the best of your ability. If you don't have that time, mix it up, right? So go, I'm good with blades. I'm good with top water. I'm good with rubber, but I need to work on dive and rise, or I need to work on this. Throw it in your game. Mix it up. Right? Now, if you got majors, minor, sun, and sundown, don't be throwing stuff you don't know how to throw. But manage your time as efficiently as possible. When it feels like it's dead, when things are dying off, work on these other baits, these other presentations to get your head around it. That's how I'd manage my time there. Norm, have you guys watched the horror movie Bloodhook that was filmed in Hayward? I vote Steve and Jay make a Bloodhook sequel in Minocqua. Your thoughts?
Oh.
We did a review years back on the movie Bloodhook.
Yeah.
But Elmer Jensen might have to star in Bloodhook too, Jay. What do you think?
You read my mind. I mean, not a week goes by where Elmer doesn't kind of
mutilate
approach
someone,
me.
Yeah.
No, not exactly. It's just like, hey, when are we doing the next video, Jay?
Right.
You know, what kind of ideas do you have? Can we toss some ideas around? You know, can we work on this thing?
Elmer's Bloodhook. Electric Boogaloo.
Elmer's Revenge.
That's it. Bloodhook 2, Elmer's Revenge. Lust, greed, and blood. Elmer Jensen delivers in the sickest of ways. Okay, this is going to, Jay, I think this
now
is
going
to.
Now you got me thinking. Yeah,
I think
you
this
got
is
going to
happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Elmer just throws Titans at Fred and catches him in the shirt, and just blood splatters everywhere.
I've still got the fake blood from the hockey right. thing we didn't right. do last year. Right. So, yeah, that might work.
Bloodhook 2, Elmer's Boogaloo. Okay, thank you, Norm. You got my brain squeezing and pleasing and teasing.
Yep, thanks, Norm. A
thanks,
great idea.
Norm. We did something nefarious is about when Elmer Jensen's on the water.
Norm.
Jack. Please cover different types of weeds and weed structures, how to apply the information given. So on the Muskie 360 app, we have some different, like a breakdown I put on there in the 101 section about the different kinds of weeds. Where that brings my brain is weed depth, weed thickness, right? So something to consider is if your weeds are like shallow and they're not that high, you can run just about anything. Blades, crankbaits, all this stuff. The higher, the taller, the thicker the weeds, it limits what your presentations are. Dive and rise. It might be rubber on the outside edge or blades on the outside edge. So it's not about the type of weed, it's about the density. Right? So classically, we're looking for that outside edge, right? We're looking for the edge where the muskies are lingering, they're hanging out, looking for bait fish coming in and out. Maybe we get into the later part of the year, we get a cold front, they're buried in that stuff. But when I'm thinking weeds, I'm thinking Titans. I'm thinking spinnerbaits, like an ace bait, a rough dog, or a figure eight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking rubber on the outside drop edge. I mean, as far as that, you sort of got to assess, make an assessment on your own on like what this weed bed looks like, right? Now, we've done very well if you find an extreme point or an extruded point off of a weed bed, right? So a tapering point or here's this weed bed, it's very symmetrical, and the center of it has a big point. So you want to break that down. So look at the weed bed as a whole and say, what is different here? Is there a big pocket in the back where there's a rock? Or the weeds are simply not growing because there's gravel, or there's a point, or there's a dip, or there's a divot, or there's a yada, yada, yada. Look at that weed bed and say, everything's evil, but here is the difference in that weed bed. That's where muskies are going to gravitate to. And then per the density of the weeds, you need to sort of tailor your presentation.
Yeah, If everything's even, look for that one change.
Yep. Dustin, Steve, just wanted to say thank you for all the information you and Jay put out there. I ran into you at the Muskie Shop the other day. You, Jay, and Jim were so helpful. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and my wife. You helped this Missouri boy land a couple of muskies. Thanks again. My trip isn't over yet, but we ended up getting a couple of fish. Man, how awesome is that? And then the email goes on. Dude, I saw the picture attached to that. Congratulations. I mean, that's as awesome as it gets. That makes me feel absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah, very cool.
John, I'm fishing on a new lake where I have had success fishing a Poseidon. I bought a Savage Gear sucker. It looks good in the water, but after every cast, I have to stick the hooks back in the bait. I know the hooks are supposed to pull out of the bait on a hook set, but they come out every other cast. Either I'm doing something really wrong, I got a bad bait. Any advice would be appreciated. Thanks. So that's the yep. Savage Gear sucker is like one of those Euro baits where they have the magnets, right, Jay?
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you clean the contact points on the magnets. What that's from is like with those pike and stuff, they want the hooks to pull out so the bait's not in their mouth, right?
Very Euro.
Very European. Dude, Tim, he showed up and he had some crazy European baits. I'm like, okay. And all of them have drop down hooks. If you're not liking it, super glue it. If it's pulling out, just drop a super glue. Do whatever you want to do.
There you go.
That's what I would do. I have a Savage Gear sucker. I like it. We've seen fish on it. Mine doesn't drop down. A lot of that can be said about like a litany of things. How strong is the magnet? Like all this crap. Super glue it. If it's popping down, just like line it up, drop some super glue on it. You'll be money. Kyle, 2-part question. Been having a hard time locating fish lately. I fish a river and the dams are always produced. Now they aren't. Where did they go? Considering night fishing, see if it helps. Is there a certain moon phase that's best for the fish, not me? So they were below a dam and now they're not. Okay, so in the early part of the season, a lot of your fish are going to run north to try to spawn and they're going to linger around for a while, right?
Yeah.
The later we get in the year, they're going to disperse. Right? We get into winter, they'll come back. So as far as the locality, get down, get away from the dam, right? If it's a matter of it's a narrow body of water, a shallow body of water, where the fish should be very obvious in where they're at. Night fishing is a consideration. For me, I'm just going to say I like new moon over full moon.
Absolutely.
Full moon is not my jam. I just don't do that great over full moon, under full moons.
I think the windows are narrow. Extremely tight. Yes.
They're hot, during the but full they're moon. Tight.
Mm-hmm.
Hot and tight. But what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Anyway, so I like the new moon windows because they're hot and loose. You got a little bit more room to work with. So what are you laughing at?
I'm not.
I would go with the new moon. If you can't find fish, new moon. I don't know if it's going to make a difference. What I would do is get away from the dam. Look for pocket pools and eddies down away from that dam. Corey, I have a storm tomorrow afternoon. Is it better to fish this evening or tomorrow morning? Ooh, okay. I have a feeling we are not that timely with this question because we're blaring through them, Jake, because we have so many to get through. Hopefully you have a storm. It might have been 2 weeks ago. Hell, I might have been in Canada a month ago. But the thing is this, pre-frontal over post-frontal every time. I want to be there before that starts. Like once it starts raining, I'm like, meh.
Mm-hmm, right. But typically, yeah, the prefrontal, yeah, fish are going to be hopefully at their most aggressive point.
And the thing is, this is like even the night fishing thing. Man, you see these storms, it's going to start raining at 1 a.m. Man, dude, those are the nights to be out there. The darker, the stormier, the better. It's no matter what, a steadfast rule, prefrontal. Now, you got windows after it stops raining. I've not caught a ton of fish while it's raining, right? Before and after, but 90% of the action is going to be before it starts raining. Joseph, been enjoying the podcast, especially when Mr. Steve goes on a tangent. Well, that's every podcast. He goes, here he goes. I better grab a Pepsi or three, LOL. have a question about spinner baits or about the blades, actually. Do you have a preferred situation to use a certain size, style of spinner baits? As always, cheers. Cheers to you. The thicker the cover, the smaller the willow. Right? Willow leaf blades are awesome because they spin really tight. And I love those big willow blades like the Mag 8s from Muskie Shop. I put them on just about everything. Now, if I get into really thick stuff, smaller blades because they're going to foul less. So spinner baits for me are a slop bait. Really dense weeds. I need to get down and dirty with them. That's going to be the bait I'm going to go with.
Fluttering weed pockets, fluttering over deep edges where you're still going to be making contact.
Yeah. That's where I'm thinking spinner baits. So if it's really, really thick, smaller blades because they're going to pick up less weed. You know, there's a bunch of different things you can do to sort of cover up any area on that spinnerbait and catch weeds. Also, too, I mean, even a deep weed situation where, let's say, it tops out at 3 feet, I might run a spinnerbait where the body is touching weed, but the blade's above it, right? So what you got to realize is a willow leaf blade has the least amount of lift. A Mag 10, let's say we go from like a 10 blade on a spinnerbait, which works. It's going to ride higher because that blade creates lift. And a 9 is less lift. And an 8 is less lift than that. And then we go to an Indiana blade, which has less lift. And then a small Indiana blade, which is even less. And then a willow leaf, which is like no lift. Right?
Yeah.
So the same speed, those baits are going to run at different depths. So Mag 10s, the big 10 blades, are going to run higher. The willow leaf blades, where they're thin, the surface area does not create as much lift, right? Much like a plane. Surface area. Airplane works on surface area and speed. Spinner baits are backwards. If you want fast and deep, go willow. If you want high and slow, go Mag 10, right? Make sense? And it's anywhere in between. So like a 8 size spinnerbait versus a 10 blade being the two opposites of the spectrum. Everything else incrementally is more or less lift. So Colorados are the most lift. Indianas are less than that.
Right. Right. Right.
French and then willow. Maybe French. I don't know. French blades been really fast, but I really don't play with them that much. So Colorado.
I don't either. Yeah. Very, very low lift situation. But yeah, that's what's so wonderful about spinnerbaits is their versatility. And most of them have a clip style for, I mean, you don't get easier changing blades than that.
My number
and one. And I've seen you do it too. You're always changing blades
I have a box
to modify blades. When fishing's tough, it's just like, you'll go to the spinnerbait and sometimes it'll pay off. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my favorite is the figure eight spinnerbait. It's got a clip right on there and I've got a box full of tens down to the tiniest Indiana blades, small willows. And like I said, tens. So Colorado, once again, Colorado has the most lift. Indiana is in the middle. Willow is the least. That's the way to look at them. You can play with it in between there. You'll see how high they run, right? At the same retrieval speed, you're going to get different running depth. So play with that. And you can base your fishing on like, hey, I need to get down and dirty, go willow. I need to keep it up high, go Colorado. Pete, loyal listener of the podcast. Well, thank you. He said the bash was great and the Titans look phenomenal in the water. My question is around rocks, rock bars. How do you attack a long, shallow rock bar? Like everyone else, I'm struggling to see fish up there. When you set up for a bar, at tops that say 3 to 5 feet, are you parking 15 and 20, starting on the perimeter, working inward? Baits like to crash are a jointed baby depth rater. Maybe I'm just missing the boat or something that Joe talked about the bash. Put that bucktail rod down. Okay, I see what you're saying. Thanks for all the insight. So, bars.
Yep.
And I spent plenty of time at the bars when I was up north, Jay.
Yeah.
Lots of times. Especially with Herbeck. So we did a lot of rock bars for protruding rock areas. Start at the now the wind's going to matter, right? Wind direction is how you determine how to start on something.
Yeah, makes sense, right?
If the wind is blowing into, imagine your head, if you will, you're sitting on the boat and you're looking directly dead ahead and there's a point and there's rocks coming off of it. If the wind is blowing into that, they're going to be tight. If it's blowing out, they're going to be deeper, right? Now, they might still use that bar in different situations, but there's no carbon copy answer of start here or start there. Read the conditions, right? If it's low light, they'll be shallower. If it's high light, bright, they'll be deeper. So now take light in consideration and take wind in consideration on how you approach that. If it's choppy and dark, shallow. If it's high, bright sun and calm, deep. If it's something in between, they're going to be in the middle. Approach it according to the conditions. So you might go nose into, nose out of. You might drift across. They might be right on the spine. But you got to sort of take a moment and assess this scenario and go, what are my wind, water, and waves conditions? And I'll sort of dial in. Brett, hi, Steve. What leaders do you recommend for throwing blades and what leaders to throw jerk baits, crank baits, as far as brand and length, etc.? Second question, can we talk about taxi presentation for going after muskies in the Northwoods in the first couple weeks of September? Thanks. Love the podcast. You guys crack me up. Excited for more Todd and Dave adventures. I'm getting the gun. I'm getting the gun. So, as far as leader, I'm pretty basic. I like what I throw all the time. Either I'll make some multi-strands myself, or if I get steal some from the shop, is 130-pound muskie shop fluoros, right?
Yep, me too.
I don't care what I'm using. I don't... If it's a difference in leader or material, we're in trouble, right? Said it before, I'll say it again. Go with a leader that you trust. You cannot go wrong with crimped multi-strand wire, right? As far as a jerk bait, crank bait, if it's a jerk bait like a Titan, or it's a crank bait like a Pounder or a Cisco Kid, I'm fine with fluoro multi-strand, right? The only time I'm really worried about my leader material is when it comes to side-to-side glide, when we really need some snap, I'll go piano wire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've said it before in the podcast. I bounce back and forth. Like, I trust piano wire, like straight wire, more than anything else. If you're new to the game, go with straight wire. It ain't going to break. Right? I'm not a big fan of, like, jigging tubes or jigging bodies on fluoro because the way they hit or all this stuff. But get the best action you can out of 1 liter so you're not sitting here going, I need to retire. But if you're glide baiting, straight jerk baiting, pose giant jackpot, you might need a wire leader. Aside from that, you're going to be pretty good with multi-strand or fluoro across the board. And second question, yep. Can we talk about the tactics presentation for going after muskies in the Northwoods in the first couple weeks of September? It seems like when things start cooling down, those suckers are going to go shallow, Jay.
That's what they always say.
You know.
Does it always happen that way? No, it's an unpredictable time. It is very unpredictable. I think during the bash, did someone pose a question about turnover?
Yeah.
And I think Joe took that for a while and kind of got in depth. And I think Pete chimed in too, Pete Mena. And yeah, it's very dependent on how quickly the water is cooling down and staying at that temperature. And if it doesn't behave, which it often doesn't. I mean, how many times do things start to kind of roll into that scenario, and then all of a sudden you get this dog day thing in late September where it's, you know, you get 80-degree weather, and it just kind of delays the whole process, which is the problem. So
I mean, for me,
if the water behaves, I mean, then it golden, you know, it's just like a natural slow decline where you're losing, you know, a few degrees every day or whatever. And, you know, after a couple of weeks, it's like, okay, you know, we're getting down near 60 degrees and, you know, the fish seem to, there's a migration shallow into the weeds. You know, they're following the bait fish.
And for me, the way I'll get around that is try to lake hop as much as possible.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Just like in the early part of the year. You know, try to find don't be fishing the turnover lake if you can avoid it. They don't all turn over at the same time. So just like when we're talking the early part of the year, be on the warmest water or this water, be on the most stable water. In the early part of the year, because it could be stable in early September, or it could be just a cluster. So sort of pay attention and call the muskie shop, ask those guys, hey, is St. Germain a mess? Or is this, you know, you can sort of get a feel for what's going on in the area. Aside from that, man, September, like let's say everything's good, right, Jay?
Uh-huh.
September is a time for topwater and diving rise.
Big time.
You know, unweighted titans, unweighted suix, top raiders, fat bastards, Dr. Evils. I'm thinking that upper water column thing.
Upper water column and extremely shallow fish, you know, up in 2 feet sometimes. Yeah, a lot of people wait all year for that bite. That's awesome when it, you know, if you can nail it, it's great. Yeah,
It's a shallow water bite. So if you're struggling, switch lakes, but look for that shallow water bite because it will be there eventually. You know, it's one of those things of like when Booker talks about like your blades landing and you be turning the handle, don't let them sink. That's that shallow water early fall bite. The blades hit, they need to be moving, boogie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Landed up in 6 inches and it is freaking hauling. That's something to consider there because that time of year is sort of what I consider to be like the hot bite up there. You know, so you can get some really big fish going. Anyway, Jay, we have covered a bunch of the Q&A we had. We got a bunch more for next week. We got a bunch of stuff we got to take care of here. I've got to wash my clothes. I got to get back on the boat. So we're getting caught up on the podcast. Thank you all for all your amazing support. Say goodnight, Jay Bird.
Bye, everybody. Thank you. Good night.